He is Justin Davis, user experience designer and professional peacemaker.
Peacemaker? Oh, God. I don't think that's true at all. And he is Aubrey Goodman, web services, mobile dev, and really anything dev extraordinaire. And, you know, I was going to say pontificator of prophets.
That's too many P's, man.
I might say pursuer of prophet pontification. And this is a show that we call Distilled. So thanks for being here. If you want to catch up with us online, you can do so on Twitter. You can catch each of us, Aubrey, at Aubrey Goodman on Twitter. You can catch me at JWD2A. Sorry, it's terrible. I get it. And you can also find this podcast not in the dumpsters behind Music Row, but at Podomatic or on iTunes. Online, just search Distilled. If you have something you want us to talk about on the show, just hashtag it Distilled Topics on Twitter and we will find it there. So there we are. Welcome in here.
So I want to say why I say professional peacemaker is because you're really good at fixed price contracts, which is something that I have considered my sworn enemy. Largely because I've been raked over the coals. Notice I said rake.
Yeah.
With a K. And I just, I like fairness.
Right.
And I have not yet been able to find a balance with that. So maybe
yeah,
you can help us understand that a little
sure.
bit.
So this is the, what's the word I want to use? So the eternal debate, I suppose, among people who do service-oriented work particularly in the design and engineering fields and technology where you're doing creative services essentially for pay. And the question always is, what are the terms? How do you get paid? Mm-hmm. Hourly is a very common model. A ton of people use it. A lot of clients hate it. I actually particularly don't like hourly at all myself, and I have lots of reasons why I don't like that. Those views have been informed by other people I've learned that from and some of my own experiences as well. And then you have fixed price. Fixed price is you tell me what you need done, I give you a bid for it, we agree on that price, and it gets done for that price, and that's the end of the story. Clients tend to like that a lot more. I tend to like that a lot more. So let me explain first my philosophy on both of those, and then we can talk about the problems with each, and then we can figure out how we solve the problems with fixed price billing and how we keep peace in the family. My problem with hourly billing is that it does two things. One, it reduces creative work to an assembly line mindset, saying that all creative work, when measured in a unit, is exactly the same as other creative work, and that every minute solving this type of problem versus solving that type of problem is worth the same amount. And that is patently false. It also says the activities involved in solving that are all equal. So if you're solving a problem where you're, say, writing code or you're designing like I am, that I do most of the time, if we take an hour and we break it up into minutes and we say that a minute is worth a dollar, let's say.
Or $2 in my case.
Or $2, right? So a minute is worth $2. If I'm spending a minute sitting in my chair thinking about how the architecture of things going to come together versus a minute of my time sitting in InDesign laying out a wireframe, are those two activities both equally worth $2 a piece? I don't think they particularly are. And hourly billing seems to set that precedent, and I think that's an incorrect assertion about the type of work that we do.
Okay. Can I diverge for just a second on that? So I also agree that staring out the one window thinking about something may not have the same value in the moment.
Right. I actually was going to say it had more value than the wireframing.
Well, I'm not saying which one has more. They just don't have the same value.
Right.
As actually typing code and saving files and committing changes.
Yep.
My counter to that is that in the aggregate, the average value that I give over a large number of hours averages out to approximately balanced.
We hope so.
Again, yeah. There's no enforcement anywhere. There's no description of what we do to measure whether it is or not.
Right. So it brings up conversations about activity that are also incorrect conversations, right? A client goes, you billed me for 10 hours, but I didn't see any commits. I didn't see any da-da-da. It's like, well, no, I was working. I was thinking through your problem, trying to figure out how this thing should come together. Well, that doesn't feel like that's real work. And you start to be like, well, I don't think you should bill that work the same. So you were doing visual design versus UX. I don't know that we should bill those all the same. Blah, 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 blah. So you get into this micromanagement of the fractional time. And it can create some essentially unsolvable problems because now it's just a pissing match. You're going, no, I promise you it's still good work. And the client's going, no, it's not. And and there's no way to solve that. You can solve it in two ways. You can fuck over the relationship and say, no, I'm going to bill you for it anyway, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Or you can screw over yourself and say, okay, you're right. I won't bill you, blah, 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 whatever. Either way.
Somebody's taking it in the ass. Maybe both.
Right.
Somehow.
Now, this doesn't always happen. I'm saying this is a universal truth, but it does happen enough towards a problem. Here's where I think the problem with hourly billing becomes even bigger, is that it punishes efficiency. The fact of the matter is I have decades of experience doing what I do. And I've gotten to the point where I can work extremely fast, especially if I'm designing something. I can design something extremely fast. It does not take me any time at all for most things. Some things take me more time than others.
I've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, I can design fast. Just like you can write code extremely fast. And you can architect systems extremely fast. Because you've done this, right, for a long time. Faster than average.
Not my fifth rodeo.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The problem with that is that you are not incentivized to do that quickly at all hourly. You are incentivized to do it slower.
That's interesting.
Because if I tell a client, oh, yeah, I can design that for you. It's going to take 2 hours, and I bill you $100 an hour. Am I going to design that for you for $200? Is that thing worth now $200? No. It's an incorrect valuation of the artifact and the thing you're making based on a discount on efficiency, right? Now, the converse is also true, is that if I am working on a problem and I have lots and lots and lots and lots of experience, right, and I can't seem to solve it, for whatever reason, I have personal issues that's causing me not to be able to think through the problem well. I just haven't ever encountered this before, and I have to go learn how to fix it. And it takes me longer and longer and longer. The client probably shouldn't be punished for my inability to know how to do that thing. They hired me on good faith that I knew how to solve that problem, and now I'm billing them time that they probably shouldn't be paying for. Really, if I'm honest.
I don't know. That's such a situational thing.
It is.
My bit on that is definitely on the innovation side. When someone hires me to do something that by definition no one has ever done before, then we have to have a balance of both sides of that.
That's true.
So I have to be protected for unnecessary or unexpected risk that balloons out in 2 and 3 orders of magnitude effort when
that's
I've
true.
Signed up for some nebulous shit.
Yep.
And they're paying me, $10,000 when in the end it's going to take me a year to do.
But there are ways we can solve that problem, and we'll get to those in a second. But the things I'm talking about are things like if I say I'm doing a project for a client and I say, oh, I'm going to use Axure, I'm going to do an interactive wireframe prototype for this, and I spend 6 hours of my day trying to figure out how Axure handles a dynamic panel. How do I do that? Am I going to bill them for that? No, I should not bill them for that. Mm-hmm. That's on me. That's my professional development time that I'm not going to bill to a client because it's not moving their project ahead. It's an orthogonal thing that I feel like the client expects I'm going to know how to do that, and I don't think that they should pick up the cost for that.
Interesting.
So anyway, that's just my personal philosophy. That's, again, a reason I don't like hourly billing is because it incurs these type of decisions. So, problems with hourly. Hourly is so much easier because it has risk mitigation built into it.
Mm-hmm.
You want more done? You pay more. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. I've had clients all the time who are like, can you do one more change on this thing? Can we also wireframe up that? Can we also design up this? And I think all the time, I'm like, if I was charging you hourly, you would say, oh, never mind. We actually don't need that, mm-hmm. right? You would make more prudent decisions about what documentation you need, how detailed we need to get for your dev team and all these type of things, right? Mm-hmm. I usually just sort of silently swallow those thoughts and go on in my life and drink a little bit more. So hourly protects you from that. The overarching thing about all of this is that there is no perfect system. Mm. And you're always going to have issues with any system you choose. You have to choose the one that you just feel more comfortable acting inside of. Fixed rate, on the other hand, I really believe in, and I believe in it for a few reasons. A, because it doesn't succumb to the issues that I just talked about with hourly billing. It also puts the conversation more on value of the end thing than it does the value of just the work. It tends to shift the problem from a hands problem to a head problem. Right? Hourly billing implies a hands type of problem a lot of time, which is I need a person who can produce this thing for me because I don't have enough time mm-hmm. or maybe expertise to do this thing, but they know how to do a task, right? A fixed thing like I'm going to come in for X dollars and I'm going to help you solve this problem, period, is more of a head type of task, right? And so it allows you a little more flexibility in execution because it's not micromanaged from a task perspective mm-hmm. because there's not that sort of ticking clock, right? Now, that's great. But fixed rate billing can kick your ass if you're not careful. And it's kicked my ass time and time again. Now, I keep doing it because I believe it's the better alternative of the two, but it kicks my ass. I've lost money hand over fist on it before. The problem with fixed rate billing is essentially it's about scope. That's pretty much it.
Scope is key.
It's about scope and it's about your own understanding of your skill set and what it requires to do a thing. Okay. What I mean by that is, well, let's take scope first. Scope is the obvious one because when you do a fixed rate project, you're agreeing, I'm going to deliver this thing, this whole package thing to solve that problem, this specific item, right? I don't know exactly what's going to be involved in creating that item in the middle of it, but I know that that item is going to cost this much when I hand it to you. Done. Okay. That's it. And the problem with that is that midway down the line, you either find out things that change what that item should be and how that item should work, or the client introduces things and says, oh, you know what? Actually, item should be this. Item should do that.
D, E, and F as well.
Right. And this is classic scope creep happens all the time. Mm-hmm. The second problem, we'll come back to scope creep because I think it's the biggest issue. The second part of this whole thing is the issue where you have... you estimate something, you say, okay, and no doubt, when clients ask me, how do you estimate? I say, well, I have an internal hourly marker I'm trying to hit, because hourly, for me, internally, is a good way for me to assure that I'm hitting a certain profit margin, right? Mm. And so what I do is I take a project and I think, okay, how many days does it take me? What's the day rate? Multiply it out, adjust it for what the market can bear, and then fixed price rate.
Wave your Harry Potter wand.
Pretty much. I mean, it's more or less voodoo and spitting in the wind. But, you know, all pricing is. So, in the grand scheme of things, it's about right. The problem with that is when I don't fully think through the problem. And I had an example of this project about a year and a half ago, this happening. It was quoted, or the made a proposal, talked through what it was going to be. I thought, okay, I think it's going to take me 4 months to complete this, working on it 10 to 15 hours a week for solid 4 months. Do the math, come up with a number. Here's your number. Okay, everybody's happy. Everybody signs off. We got into it, and it turned out I didn't understand the complexity of the problem at all.
Right.
I thought it was simple, and it was not. The project ended up wearing on for about a year, 14 months or so. Cool. And I only got paid for basically 4 months of it. I lost money hand over fist on that project because I didn't understand the complexity myself. I put that on myself.
It's like a year, though.
It's a year.
Like,
right. But
that's a...
In the scheme of things, it was my... At the end of the day, it was my fault because I didn't do the research. I didn't think... I've never worked in this problem space before. Let me find out what really is involved in solving this problem, what all the things I could encounter are. No, I said, oh, yeah, I understand this, arrogantly, and said, here's probably what this is going to cost, and I fucked it up. And as a result, I lose money. And that's, I think that's, it sucks, because I hate losing money, but at the end of the day, it's the right thing. I know when it's right that I deserve to be punished. And that was the case, right? So anyway, and I think the client knew it, frankly, as well.
Yeah. So I want to talk about kind of what happens in those conflict moments when you are getting to a point where you realize that you have signed a contract. Let's say you're 3 weeks into a 6-week project.
Yep.
And you have sorely misunderstood, and it took you 3 weeks to figure it out. Do you try to renegotiate that contract and say, look, we had some evolutionary things that came up as a result of our efforts. Let's talk about, you know, we'll cut it to here, you know, talk about what the value is of what we've got so far and reevaluate for a much larger effort.
Yeah.
Or do you just suck it up and like hire somebody and start taking on extra contracts and, you know, bringing in more profitable work that way?
That's what I've always done. I've never issued a contract amendment to a client ever in the entire time I've ever done this. There have been times that I should have, that I thought, boy, I'm going to lose my shirt on this. See above example. God, I really need to go back and say, hey, hang on. It's my bad. Sorry. It I misunderstood, but this is going to be a big deal. I am the kind of person, my personality is such that I'll just say, wow, that was really stupid. Should have learned from that. Keep the peace, because that person could bring a referral that I don't want to burn that bridge.
Sure.
Because frankly, that conversation is never going to go well. That conversation almost all the time will go poorly, except with the most understanding of understanding clients. But anytime you come back and they go, you say, I want to readjust this, and it completely legitimately, you're legitimately in the right to say that.
You say, we've discovered something that came up. We did not know when we signed this contract, and that changes the scope of things.
Right.
But the contract is already signed, and so it's you are in the low power scenario.
I mean, you're sort of in the high power scenario, because you can just say, okay, see, I'm not going to do the rest of the contract. Adios.
Yeah. But then that burns.
But you're in a shitty ethical, it's not really an ethical situation at all. You're just in a shitty personal situation that I always take the passive route out of those, for better or for worse. Now, I get burned for that occasionally, but at the end of the day, net over 5 years or so of doing this independently, it's worked out far in my favor than it has negatively. Mm. And so when I look at it in aggregate, I feel like I'm probably doing it right. Although there are instances where I had a couple months of stress going, shit, I'm working 20 hours a week and not getting paid for it.
Yeah.
That happens. And oh well.
And as long
I won't
as
do that again.
I think now that's where it gets messy for me. In that scenario, so say you've taken the other fork. You've gone down that other path and you've said, look, I'm going to make this right. I realize I'm going to eat my hat on this, but I'm not going to be very overt with the customer to say, you know, like, because basically anything I say to the customer is going to sound, you know, to them like trying to weasel out of something.
Absolutely.
From some perspective. Yep. They may not have that perspective, but they probably will.
99 times out of 100, they will.
Most of the time, yeah. Not. And so you're trying to honor your original agreement, knowing that you'll just don't do that stupid shit again. But with this client, you have to make good on that. At what point do you decide? Like, how do you, I guess not at what point do you say, how do you handle the client's impatience at that point? So they're impatient because it's not getting done.
Yeah.
And they're continuing to be impatient because it continues to not be done. Whatever done means. And done can be a very easily moving target in these scenarios.
You nail that in two ways. You nail the, and we'll call it the over-communicate strategy, which is just tell them as much as possible all the time. Email them every day and be like, hey, just working on this today, and I noticed that this is going to happen. Give them so much information that they are, you put them in your eyes so that they're now seeing the project through what you're seeing every day, and they are starting to understand, oh, this is getting more complex. Right. So they're learning through the process as you are. So you don't just come back after a while and say, oh, by the way, this is really complex and it's going to take 2 months longer. And they go, what do you mean?
Yeah.
This way, there's a narrative. And also, it shows. Here's the thing. Clients aren't near as worried about deadlines. There are instances that they are where, like, there is a campaign lined up and something has to happen.
Been burned by that one, too.
Those are immutable, and you have to figure out. You have to figure those out. No doubt. That comes into the second thing in just a second. But most of the time, that's not the case. Most of the time, there's a deadline because somebody had to set a deadline. The deadline is arbitrary. Somebody said, I don't know, March 1st, it's the first of a month, sounds like a great deadline, let's say that. If that client sees activity happening every day, sees forward progress, and you say, it's probably going to be March 15th, it could be April 1st, I don't know, could take an extra month, but we could deliver this piece by then and get you da-da-da, whatever, my experience has been that they're humans too. They'll be like, okay, cool. I mean, you can't really go any faster than you're already going, and I get it. I mean, there are just, you know, there's only so many hours in a day, and I see that you are actually working on this, and so, okay, fine, not a big deal. The other thing I've done also is try to find ways that I can help them get started on their next phase before I'm done. I'm in an enviable position here because I'm a designer. And so what I do moves to development after I'm done with it. Mm-hmm. So I say to them, okay, I tell you what, why don't we can't get this whole thing done by March 1st. It doesn't look like. Unfortunately, sucks. I know. Here's the reasons why. Blah, 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 blah. Empathize. Say, guy, I know you really need to hit that deadline. I know you need to get the dev team started. What if we deliver this part of the design and focus on getting that piece done so that your dev team can go ahead and start on schedule and they're going ahead and working while we finish up the rest? Mm-hmm. I've used that all the time. And every time I use it, the client goes, oh, yeah, that's totally cool. All we need to do is get the dev team started by March 1st.
Get them started.
It doesn't really matter when you finish. We just need to be able to move on to the next piece by the time you're done. Now,
so,
yeah.
So it sounds like maybe you have just a naturally, because you're the opener and not the closer.
Right.
You don't have the weight of the game resting on your shoulders.
Right.
You do, but you don't.
This is
why. You throw the first pitch. You throw the first 100 pitches.
Right.
And they take you out when you start to show signs of not being perfect anymore.
Right. Right.
That's when they say, okay, maybe this guy's got to take a break. We got to find another pitcher.
Yeah.
But in my case, no.
Right.
It's the complete opposite.
So in your case, you have to do the other side of it. And I've had this happen too. I have had it happen very recently, which is where a client says, oh, by the way, how's the progress on that thing coming? And I hadn't made a lot of progress at all. And I say, oh, great.
Oh.
It'll definitely be done this week.
No.
And I work my ass off like 18 hours a day to get said thing done.
Mm-hmm.
Because delivering and making that person happy is more important than really anything else to me. And if I can make sure that at the end of the day, they get what they want and they look at me and go, awesome, you did it. You actually followed through. I'll put myself through hell as long as it's fairly temporary. I've done that on lots of I wouldn't say lots of occasions, but I've done it on several occasions where I get busy doing other projects and or there's a miscommunication where I thought I was waiting for them, but they weren't, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh shit, I should have been working on this for the past 2 weeks and I wasn't.
Right.
Oops. Cram, 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 cram.
Right.
Deliver. Right. And again, all they want to see is for me anyway, they want to see a thing. They want to see something.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can give them something, it doesn't have to be the final thing, just enough.
Okay. I want to expand on that for sure, because that's always the tripping point for me, that final thing.
Right.
What's that? How do you define that? is there a document somewhere that explains in grueling detail all the various details of what that final thing is?
No.
Okay. Then how do you know, how does the client know when it's done?
That is a spectacular question. And frankly, it's a question I've always wondered myself, which is how do you measure done? I don't actually know. It just so happens it's always kind of just worked out. Maybe I'm just very confident when I deliver it, and I'm like, all right, here is the thing, and we have finished. There you go, right? But frankly, what usually happens to me is I deliver what I think is done, and they say, oh, well, what about this? And I go, oh, God, good point. I didn't even think about that. Let me work on that. And it will end up dribbling on for, like, another few weeks before it's done. I never really have very many projects that have, like, I deliver, hey, we're done, right? All right, we're done.
Always fall
I think we're
effort.
Done, but we're not done. Because I didn't think about something. They see something that I overlooked. They're like, what does that link do? What is that? Oh, I didn't think about that. Okay, hang on. I'll figure that out. Give me a couple days. I'll get back to you.
Right. But that's part of the details.
Part of the details.
And you don't have problems where you say, oh, I overlooked that one little thing. And then you start looking at that one little thing, and it turns out to be that one little thing opens up a whole new set of things.
It has happened. It has happened. I mean, that has happened before, where I'm like, oh, yeah. So what happens when somebody opens that?
You ask a casual question, and they're like, oh.
No big deal. And then I'm like, oh, well, if they open that, then we have to ask them if they're going to add, oh, then where do they get that from?
Right.
Oh, we didn't create that.
Yep.
Oh, shit. It unlocks it. And generally speaking, when that comes up, I go back to the client and I literally tell them, I'm like, wow, you know what? Good catch. I didn't even see that. Really good catch on your part. Mm. This actually is a lot more complicated than I thought. And I think again, I'm not asking them to change the contract monetarily, but I'm just saying this is pretty complicated because we have to think about this and this, and I walk them through it very basically. Like, we have to think about, like, what happens then if they do this and and the client's now going, oh, yeah, that is complex.
Get them thinking about it.
I get them sort of on my side to where we're now designing together. Mm-hmm. It's not like you... Here's the thing that I try to break down with clients a lot, and I do this at the very beginning, the first meeting. I phrase everything, not like, I'm going to do this for you. We're going to do this together. We're designing this thing together. Right. You've brought me in to help you design this, but as a team, we're going to figure out how this thing should go together, right?
Yeah, now, again, we is good.
Yeah.
We.
Because what it does is when those problems come up now, to them, it's partially their problem to solve as well. It's not like, you're supposed to be the expert, why didn't you think about that? It's, oh yeah, great problem, how are we going to solve that? Justin, lead us through this problem. I'm the facilitator, not the designer per se. I mean, I am the designer, but it's a subtle shift. But starting the relationship off like that, and I will ask them questions when something complex comes up. I mean, I'll say, guys, how do you think we should solve this? Do you have any ideas? Because I've been thinking we could do this. Do you have any other ideas that may work as well? Mm-hmm. I do those type of things through the contract to get them onto my side. And the more I do that, the less likely things down the road come back to bite me because now it's their problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not like it's my problem and I didn't deliver. It's that we as a team just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
So that is, I mean, that's another piece of the strategy as well.
Yeah.
It's hard. This stuff is very difficult. I'll say that one panacea that I've explored are retainers, although retainers can also bite you because a retainer is nothing more really than pre-purchased hourly rate at a discount.
And not always at a discount. Sometimes at a markup.
Yeah, it could be.
But that usually it's markup for risk. Like new clients have... retainer required.
If the client has a retainer requirement.
No, I'm saying like I have a retainer requirement for new clients because that's how I mitigate risk of being not like of them not being satisfied with the final result of the deliverables or, because in the end with them it seems to always be that I have to suffer the brunt of any oversight in design phase if I'm inheriting a design from someone else,
right?
Because then it's like if you did overlook something and they didn't catch it,
right?
Then it falls on me to figure out what to do in that scenario. Yeah. And so sometimes I just, you know, and this is something I need to learn how to do better. I'll just accidentally just start in, like, yeah, I'll do this solution. This seems like the only solution, or it's like the best solution as far as I can tell, or whatever. And, you know, if I don't communicate in excruciating detail why I made that choice, inevitably somebody gets upset because they feel like they weren't included in the choice when there wasn't a choice to be made at all.
Right. I make it seem like there is. I email them and say, hey, just notice this. I'm thinking we have to do this. What do you think? I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to say, yeah, I think you're right. We have to do that. But they feel like they had a voice in it and that they were the ones who, again, make it seem like it's their decision, not yours. And when you do, complete inversion of control.
True.
So, anyway, that's how I try to keep the peace.
Yeah, keeping the peace is important.
Yep. At the end of the day, peace is more important than money to me. So I will take a hit if I can make the relationship survive it.
Hmm. That's good advice.
Basically. So anyway.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yet another rant.
And that'll do it for us.
Adios.
Thanks for listening.